This election is about ending the grotesque level of income and wealth inequality in America today.
Hello, you're very welcome back to another episode of the 99% Podcast.
It is episode 11. Hello, episode Michael. 11.
Hello, Lou. You're kitted out in your Bernie outfit today.
I'm dressed like a Democrat.
You're dressed like a real Democrat, really suits the occasion, right?
I've got
right?
my Cuba hat.
It's really nice.
Cuba hat made in China.
It's brown.
Support free trade. It's brown. And I've got my Bernie Sanders Viva la Revolution t-shirt. So I am all buzzed up for the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
I know.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because last week we had to deal with all these dumb Republicans who believe that God created climate change because the Chinese and stuff. And this week we have people who were actually informed and educated running for office, speaking and celebrating, and it is a lot of fun.
Do we miss any Republican National Conference?
Well, we recorded
stuff,
the show
stuff?
On Tuesday, which was basically the first day of the convention.
Right.
So we missed a few things.
Okay.
We missed Ted Cruz giving his speech where he refused to endorse Trump, which
you know,
in
as,
some way I admire.
As bad as Ted Cruz is, at least he stood by
exactly.
his kind
I mean,
of...
Trump accused Ted Cruz's father of being associated with the plot to kill John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
So to endorse Trump would have been just absurd. I mean, these guys hate each other so much.
Yeah.
And then we missed Trump's speech on the Thursday night, which there was not really much to talk about. It's just angry, scary Trump stuff.
Sure.
And then on the Tuesday night after we recorded was the roll call where all the delegates gave out the votes, and you and I sat in a central Galway fast food restaurant using their free Wi-Fi at 12 o'clock at night to watch this.
I remember that. Yeah.
You forgot about that, Michael. anyway, it's a long story, but the roll call is a lot of fun.
No better way to experience a roll call than in a fast food restaurant at 12 o'clock at night.
Using their free Wi-Fi.
Screen
this size. But
it was great.
No, they timed the roll call so that the New York delegates would be able to put Trump over the line to the number he needed to get the nomination. Who were the New York delegates? Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump. So these guys got to hand out those votes to their father and cross him over to 1237 and to the Republican nomination. So Trump and Mike Pence are now the official Republican presidential and vice presidential nominees.
Okay.
Something we are all very, very happy about, I'm sure.
Mm.
But anyway, no sooner was the RNC finished that the DNC shows up and we get to marvel at the luminous glow of Hillary Clinton's radiance for a week. And we're going to have a lot of fun watching the DNC over the next few days.
Yeah, we sure will. And it opened up pretty well as well.
It started very
great.
Well last night. We'll discuss that
later on.
Yeah. But...
Yeah, so what do you want to go to first?
Well, in the UK, we'll go back to this. We haven't spoken about this in a few weeks. So the Labour Party in Britain is falling apart. They are having... While the Conservative leadership contest was over in about a week, the Labour one, which was triggered by a vote of no confidence in Jeremy Corbyn, because essentially all of the Labour MPs, the majority of them, are not happy with Jeremy Corbyn as their leader.
And they never were.
He was elected by the Labour Party membership.
Yeah.
So they had a vote of no confidence, and this triggered a leadership election. So Corbyn was first challenged by Angela Eagle. Angela Eagle then Owen Smith also ran and... He got more MPs endorsing him, so Angela Eagle decided to endorse him and to drop out. So now we have a two-person race with Smith and Corbyn. Now, the Labour Party sort of committee of the party decided that they were going to charge people £25 to vote in this race rather than the... You know, £2, I think, that it was last year, because, you know, this is a deliberate move because Corbyn supporters are young people
and they don't have enough money.
People, and frankly, paying £25
just
to vote for a leader who was elected a year ago, he hasn't lost any elections yet. Okay, in theory, you could say that he unsuccessfully took Labour through the Brexit referendum.
But it's not an election that he called.
It's not an election that he called.
So
Jeremy Corbyn has yet to lose anything.
Yeah.
Labour won the Mayor of London election. Sadiq Khan was elected there under Corbyn's leadership. Labour did fairly well in the local elections.
Yeah, I mean...
So this is merely people who don't like Corbyn as an individual and never did to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, and they're giving out to him for something that for not really endorsing the Remain campaign, mm-hmm. but he personally didn't believe in it.
And I don't think he should be, and whether you agree or disagree with him on that, I don't think you should hold his leadership of the Labour Party to account over the fact that the referendum didn't pass. It's not like Labour are in a particularly strong position anyway,
exactly.
because under Ed Miliband's leadership, it was that they did so poorly in the last general election,
mm-hmm.
and Jeremy Corbyn, and frankly, these people who are challenging Jeremy Corbyn are going to bring Labour back to that point that Ed Miliband was in whatever you think about Jeremy Corbyn, at least he's different. At least it's a different direction for the party, whereas Owen Smith is just another version of Ed Miliband.
Yeah.
And the party is not going to do particularly well against Theresa May's Conservative government in the next general election under his leadership, I don't think. At least with Corbyn, you're trying something new.
Exactly.
So anyway, I don't know how this leadership contest will go. Owen Smith has a varied record of... policy.
I think
he's okay.
I think Corbyn still has a good, chance.
I think Corbyn is
most likely going to win.
But then in 6 months they're going to try and get him out again, and this is going to keep happening. Mm. And that's the problem. There's okay. Maybe the Labour MPs will be reasonable and say, okay, the people aren't going to get rid of Jeremy, so we will leave him in for maybe 2 years, let's say, or maybe even until the next general election, which might happen early because of Brexit. We don't know. But if we suddenly enter a cycle until the next general election when Jeremy Corbyn refuses to quit as leader and we have an endless sort of 6 month rotation of votes of no confidence, leadership elections, people spending £25 to vote for Jeremy to keep him in because that is what democracy has put him there. The party is going to be in no position to go back into government in the next the next decade, probably. So it's bad for the party that there are divisions here. There are numerous people to blame, numerous causes of it, but I am quite a big fan of Jeremy Corbyn, and he has yet to do anything to lose my support. Even though there are people with various stories, but he is yet to do anything to lose my support, and I hope he wins this election because he was democratically elected by the members of the party.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Labour leadership contest will be occurring soon, and we'll keep an eye on what is happening in the UK. Of course, Article 50 has not yet been triggered. Might not happen for some time,
which is interesting. After Theresa May goes, leave is what the people
Brexit
voted for.
Is Brexit, yeah,
and Brexit is
But she hasn't done anything terrible yet in her 2 weeks as prime minister. Not that I've noticed. So
I think she's actually
we'll leave her at it.
Yeah, and I've been talking to people about it as well, and it seems like I think what she's doing is quite clever.
It seems like a stable arrangement. Yep. Surprisingly so, considering the mood in the country the week after David Cameron resigned.
Another way of looking at it as well is that she now has people to blame if Brexit goes south.
But I say she's done nothing wrong. She was elected, although I do question her decisions to basically say to both Northern Ireland and Scotland, you're not getting out of this, you're leaving with us.
Oh, yeah.
Which, that's ridiculous. It's absurd. Scotland... have a perfect right to Scotland is sovereign enough that they should be able to make their own decisions, but whatever. The SNP hopefully will save Scotland from this horrendous arrangement that they have fallen unwillingly into.
Yeah.
Whatever Theresa May tries to do to get in their way.
Yes, indeed.
So, whatever about Britain, let's move on to America.
Yeah.
Because this week in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is the
DNC.
Democratic National Convention 2016. Yeah. So, descending on Philadelphia are all the members of the Democratic Party, their presumptive nominee, Hillary Clinton. She will be officially named the nominee this week. The roll calls tonight. She'll be making a speech accepting the nomination on Thursday night. Of course, also at the convention are President Barack Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, former President Bill Clinton, former First Lady Hillary Clinton, Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Senator Cory Booker, Senator Tim Kaine, everyone we love.
Yes.
I'm just speaking as long as possible so this music can continue. So,
it's the whole song.
Just leave the whole song playing.
Okay.
Keep on rocking at the DNC. So the first thing we're going to talk about is that, first thing we'll talk about is that Hillary chose her running mate last week. And it was Senator Tim Kaine.
Sure was.
Now, my...
I didn't think Tim she picked Tim Kaine, to be honest.
The media seemed very... The media seemed to have quite... To have their money on Tim Kaine. I didn't know who Tim Kaine was, so yeah. I was like, I hope she picks someone I know and like, Thomas Perez or Cory Booker. Yeah. But, you know, I have read and I have watched... Read about and I have watched Tim Kaine the last few days. And, yeah, he's fine. Tim Kaine is from Virginia. Spoil the quiz.
Oh, great. I might actually get one answer right.
Tim Kaine is from a certain state with mountains. And he, you know, he speaks Spanish fluently. He's very popular with ethnic minority groups, statistics show. So he might help Hillary in that regard.
But I don't think she needs help anyway, does
no,
she?
No, I don't think she does. I don't think she does, no. But yeah, no, I mean, he seems like a good, safe, but smart choice. And I'd say he will help the campaign. And the main thing with him is that he's quite conservative for a Democrat. He's not the Bernie side of the party. He's righter than Hillary, which is going to help her getting moderates to vote for her, frankly, because we have this Democratic Party platform that has been, you know, that has Bernie's paw prints all over it now, with, you know, abolishing the death penalty and increasing minimum wage. So what Hillary needs is she needs moderates who might be put off by the sort of Bernie democratic socialism stuff in the platform. She needs those people to vote for her and not vote for Trump. And Tim Kaine is going to appeal to those people because... Guitar solo. Tim Kaine is going to appeal to those people because he is a moderate-leaning Democrat. So the fact is the vice president is probably one of the least powerful people in the U.S. government in terms of actual policymaking. I mean, just look at Joe Biden's record the last 8 years. What? He's the face of many things, but in terms of actually initiating things, not that much. There's the old saying, a vice president is either a matador or a doormat. So we have Vice President Cheney was kind of the puppet master of the entire Bush administration, some people might say, and Biden is the opposite. And I would imagine Hillary being the... very dominant sort of figure that she is, I would imagine that Tim Kaine will be a Joe Biden-esque person.
Definitely.
So frankly, it's his maybe conservatism, I don't think will be a huge conservatism. I don't think will be a huge problem for those of us who might be put off by that initially. So he's probably a generally good choice. And that's about all I have to say about Senator Tim Kaine. Michael?
Yeah, I just second everything that you said on Tim Kaine. Bernie and Michelle Obama made their speeches last night. To open it up.
Mm-hmm. Monday night was Bernie and Michelle. The rest of the week we're going to have Bill and Barack and Hillary.
And to be honest, I think Bernie and Michelle are going to be the highlights of...
I'd say so, especially Michelle. Michelle's speech was really well-written speech. And I think it was almost... They probably put a lot of effort into making it one of the best speeches of the convention following on from Melania Trump's speech last week.
Other people can plagiarize it in the future.
Exactly. But I mean, if you compare the two speeches... I mean, if you ignore
them... Could you imagine Melania Trump...
I know.
...making a similar speech?
Yes, okay. If you ignore the fact that she's not American and English isn't her first language, right? So we'll give her those, right? So fine. That's okay. But frankly, she has absolutely no charisma whatsoever.
No.
And Michelle Obama is great. I love Michelle Obama. She is such a engaging speaker. She's such a warm presence, more so,
and she's
far
so,
more so than I would
so
say than Hillary
genuine
Clinton.
And
she's
sincere.
So genuine. She's so sincere.
Whereas
and so is President Obama. Whereas
they don't like Whereas you kind of feel like with Hillary Clinton, she's talking down.
Yes.
She's condescending, but she's so insincere as well.
I know. It's very difficult when you have the two most insincere candidates imaginable running.
And she doesn't really captivate you in any of her speeches at all.
It's very easy to zone out if you're listening to it.
So
easy. Whereas the Obamas, both of them, are very good at like hooking you in. See, Hillary can borrow their speechwriters, but it's not just about the speechwriters. I'd say, first of all, Barack and Michelle work a lot on their own speeches, more so than the Clintons do.
They probably do,
And also, they're just such great... They're such great public
speakers.
It's
the way that they execute the speeches, too. I mean, if Hillary made the same speech, it just wouldn't be.
No, it wouldn't. Yeah, it would sound.
It would sound like
rehearsed.
Hillary reading off a teleprompter. Yeah.
But the Obamas are really, and that was how they got to be the first African American president and first lady, is because they were so. They were so charismatic on TV, and people were just like, wow, these are people who I can trust, people I can relate to. And they were some of the most engaging sort of presidential candidate couple that we've seen in many decades. I love the Obamas. They're great.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
But whatever you think about President Obama's presidency, as two professional politicians, they are really fantastic. But
yeah, I mean, a lot of people are very critical of Obama's presidency.
And there
right?
has been mistakes, but
yeah, but like,
but God, in 8 years when you're looking back on the Trump presidency, it's going to seem pretty great. It's going to seem like a pretty great 8 years.
But even if Hillary gets in, it will be a pretty great.
I mean,
a Hillary
presidency is basically going to be a continuation of the Obama presidency, more or less, but without Obama's wonderful, trustworthy image on the front.
I guess
she was one of his main policymakers. I mean, they're going to use the same staff, more or less, one would imagine.
Pretty much, yeah.
But so yeah, Michelle's speech. We have
some.
We're going to play some of it,
yeah,
because it really is worth listening to.
It is. We've picked out my favorite minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Our favorite minute and a half.
Yeah.
From the speech. So here we go.
Yeah.
That is the story of this country. The story that has brought me to this stage tonight. The story of generations of people who felt the lash of bondage, the shame of servitude, the sting of segregation, but who kept on striving and hoping and doing what needed to be done so that today I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves. And I watch my daughters, two beautiful, intelligent black young women, playing with their dogs on the White House lawn. And because of Hillary Clinton, my daughters and all our sons and daughters now take for granted that a woman can be president of the United States. Don't let anyone ever tell you that this country isn't great, that somehow we need to make it great again, because this right now is the greatest country on earth.
So there's some powerful stuff from Michelle Obama's speech.
Yeah.
As you can hear, audience really loving it.
especially the slaves.
especially that house built by slaves line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a memorable
it is.
Dialogue. And
sure
I'm going to remember that for a long time. And
yeah.
Nothing that was said by Trump or Melania Trump or his kids or John or Mike Pence or any other member of the Republican Party was as literate and as poetic as some of that stuff. And I imagine some of the stuff we're going to hear from President Obama and from Bill. But Bernie also spoke. Now, of course, Bernie's beautiful shadow floats over this convention like a dementor, because of course
he's got his, you know, he's
because
got
of his. Course the Bernie people are there, and the Bernie people, a lot of them are very angry because they feel, not entirely justified, but they feel that they've been hard done by. Now, the fact is, Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigned on Sunday night as the chairperson of the Democratic Party, I guess. Now, because of these emails that came out, which show extraordinary bias towards Hillary on the part of the Democratic Party, committee or whatever they're called, executive committee or whatever. But the fact is that didn't really cause the the election to be won by Hillary. I mean, she won it fairly, but there was bias there. And although Bernie's campaign have said, you know, this was not stolen from us, but this kind of bias shouldn't be present in a party and it shouldn't happen again.
Yep.
And Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a very, she's a friend of Hillary Clinton's.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think she should have resigned. I don't think she should have been in this role to begin with, because you should have a neutral person. There should have been somebody who was kind of impartial, did not have any special relationship with Clinton or with Sanders in this role, who did, in theory, have control over the primary process in many ways. So, you know, it's good that she has finally quit, but I don't think it happened soon enough. But it is interesting that she resigned the week of the convention. So now there is kind of an empty slot there in the convention. And it's some bad press for the Democratic Party, I think, but... and there are some amusing, you might say, conspiracy theories about how these emails got leaked and what international governments were responsible for the leak. But I will not repeat them here because they are somewhat dodgy sources. but yeah, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is gone. And if you want to know more about Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I would recommend that you watch the animated YouTube series Bernie Sand Wars. It is a Star Wars parody about the Democratic Party, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz is represented by the character Jar Jar Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So check that out. It's called Bernie Sand Wars.
But a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters were very kind of angered by his endorsement of
Hillary Clinton. They donated a lot of money to his campaign on the grounds that he was the anti-Hillary candidate. Because she is...
Right.
She has connections with the big banks. She's very establishment. Mm-hmm. She is, for better or worse, has a lot of connections, which some might consider to be bordering on corrupt. And the fact that Bernie has now gone... but I mean, I think you and I both agree that Bernie did the only right thing. I mean, this is to stop Donald Trump becoming president.
To stop Donald Trump, exactly.
And that is the most important thing. As bad as Hillary Clinton is, she's not as bad as Donald Trump.
Exactly.
She is qualified to be president. She knows how to be a leader, and she knows how to speak to people in a diplomatic way that will not cause them to launch nuclear strikes, which Donald Trump cannot be trusted not to do.
Yeah. But I think why a lot of people were so angry was because here is Bernie Sanders who was saying, you know, Hillary Clinton is a corrupt woman. Mm-hmm. She is, you know, exactly. She's connected with the banks. She's not qualified to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And what we heard last night at the DNC was pretty much the complete opposite.
I'm not sure. He never really said she wasn't qualified, because I think her being qualified is kind of unquestionable, but it's a case of whether she is sort of ethically in the right place.
But he did say, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, he did contradict in many ways.
He has contradicted himself quite a bit.
Like myself and yourself, we kind of get that why he had to do that.
A lot of Bernie
fans are like, well, this is why we wanted to vote for Bernie, was because he is a man who wouldn't be easily swayed by and he'd stay by his word.
I understand where these people are coming from, but the issue is, if these people now, if they don't vote, or if they go and they vote for Jill Stein, the Green candidate, or Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, as a sort of protest vote against Hillary Clinton, all that's doing is taking votes away from the Democratic Party,
just giving,
and you're allowing
Trump.
Donald Trump to win. Because Donald Trump supporters, there are lots of them, they are very, very passionate, and they are in enough numbers, if the Democrats don't unite to vote for Hillary, they are in great enough numbers that they will elect Donald Trump as president, and that is a very, very strong possibility.
Yeah, like Trump has really kind of raised a whole... He's taken a lot of people out who would never vote.
Yeah, exactly.
And now they're all...
And
going
if you
to
go,
voting.
If you read some of some things on 538, if you look at the statistics, I mean, Trump winning is very, very, very likely to happen.
It is. I mean, and that's scary. I remember last year talking about this, and we're going, yeah, Hillary has this one in the can. Mm. Like, there's not a hope.
It was like, oh, Hillary be running against
Jeb Bush,
or Marco Rubio, and it'll be really easy for her. And I said on this very podcast, guaranteed Jeb Bush will be the Republican nominee.
Yep.
Well, I can officially say now, I was wrong. I apologize. I may eat a hat, which I think I promised I do. I would do. but not this one.
Did you say you would eat a hat if Donald Trump gets in?
No, I think I said eat a hat if Jeb Bush didn't get in. Which was a 1 in 17.
Oh,
so that was a terrible thing to say.
That was a bad move on your part.
I will donate my hat.
I will make sure
to the Hillary Clinton campaign.
I will make sure that Lou eats a hat on this show live.
Well, if the listeners want to donate, and then, well, I will get a hat made. First of all, I will get a hat made of chocolate or candy floss or something.
Yeah.
Listeners can donate, and then I will donate. I will give that. We'll buy a Make America Great Again hat. But we'll buy one on eBay from China.
It has to be a $27 hat, because that was the average
donation
from Bernie Sanders.
$27.
$27. It's got to be $27.
But the DNC continues this week, and the roll call is tonight.
I'm kind of looking forward to Bill's speech, because Bill
he's unpredictable.
He's unpredictable. That's, you know, Hillary's is going to be really,
really, yes. Yeah. We have made history. I'm the first woman.
Yeah.
But it is going to be great. I mean, the fact is, it is great. Now, I kind of wish it wasn't Hillary, but it is great that on Thursday, the first time in the history of the United States, a party is going to nominate a woman as their presidential candidate.
Which is cool.
It is really cool. Now, I wish that woman was Michelle or Elizabeth Warren, but
be great.
You can't have all. You can't always get what you want.
A woman is a
in
woman.
The words of Donald Trump's favorite song. So we're gonna have some great. So we had some musical performances last night from Paul Simon and Demi Lovato, and Lady Gaga and Lenny Kravitz will be performing later in the week.
Oh yes,
so we can look forward to that.
Great,
but
it's probably gonna be the worst gig to ever play.
I
mean, could you imagine? They're just all like screaming all the time,
sure,
just shouting over your music.
There's huge crossover between Hillary supporters and Lady Gaga fans. I would imagine that's like exactly the same demographic.
Really?
Yeah. I'd say so.
Okay.
I'd say a good like 75% crossover between those two groups.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There might be some like maybe older.
There are older. She has an older demographic.
But they certainly. Really. I'm sure they all like. Everyone likes a bit of Lady Gaga as long as she plays like some of her early good stuff.
Early good stuff.
But speaking of corrupt American people, Roger Ailes
finally
quit Fox as chief of Fox News. This is a nasty, evil little man, and he's been accused of all sorts of sexual misconduct by various employees, past and present.
All you have to do. I hate judging people by the way they look, but all you have to do is look at this man.
This man is responsible. I don't know if he solely, I don't know the history, I don't know if he like created Fox News as it is today, but I'm sure he is largely responsible for creating the most inflammatory and dangerous media organization in America, which has basically turned a significant proportion of the country into people who just ignore fact and you know, the Bill O'Reilly generation. It's just whatever. This is what is getting Donald Trump in this. This is what has gotten Donald Trump to this point. And if you didn't see it coming, you know, you weren't paying attention. So Roger Ailes, glad he's gone. I'm sure his replacement won't be much better, but it's good that he is now out of work.
Only took 10 years.
Only 10 years. Anyway.
Some man.
It's time now for the 99 second quiz.
Oh, we're going to do the quiz.
I think we should do the quiz now.
All right, let me get the quiz music up. Sorry, I'm not on the
Get your 99 second timers ready, because it's time for the 99 second quiz.
Oh, sugar. My bad.
Okay. Get your timer ready.
Alright.
We have some questions. I have some questions to ask Michael.
I have to go with a countdown timer on my phone.
Yes. I have some questions to ask Michael. And we will see how many he can answer correctly in 99 seconds.
I just want to say, we need to start getting more people to do this quiz with, because the last time I got 1.5 right.
And then I got 2.
You got 2.5.
2.5, okay.
So we're not very good.
We're going to get some guests on doing the quiz pretty soon.
I'm definitely worse than you are.
Well, we'll see. This week, I...
This week, maybe.
The questions, it's an interesting selection.
Okay. I'm going to start the timer now.
Who was the last person to be executed for involvement in the 1916 Rising?
Pass.
Who directed Star Trek Beyond?
Ugh, the same guy as Fast and Furious. Don't know his name.
In what Irish city are Heineken and Orchard Thieves brewed?
Oh, Waterford? No. Cork.
Yes.
Yes.
Tim Kaine is a U.S. senator for what state?
Virginia.
Correct. What Oscar-winning actress was confirmed to play Captain Marvel at Comic-Con this week?
Gal Gadot?
No.
Gal Gadot?
What was Hillary Clinton's father's profession?
He was a solicitor.
Nope.
Lawyer.
Who created Star Trek in 1966?
Pass.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is published on Sunday. It was written by whom?
J.K. Rowling.
Nope. Which talk show host is hosting the 2016 Emmy Awards on ABC?
Sorry, what's that?
What talk show host will host the 2016 Emmy Awards broadcast on ABC? That's a clue. ABC.
ABC. I don't know.
Who is President Obama's current chief of staff?
I don't know that either.
What crime drama starring John Turturro currently airs Sunday nights on HBO?
On HBO? I don't know.
Was Ronald Reagan the 40th or 41st president?
40th.
Correct.
Yes.
And we, our time is up.
Okay, so
okay, Michael. So, the last person to be executed for involvement in the 1960s Rising was Roger Casement.
Okay, yeah.
The director of Star Trek Beyond was Justin Lin.
Justin Lin.
You got Cork.
I got Cork, yeah.
The Oscar-winning actress was Brie Larson. Gal Gadot is neither.
Wasn't gonna get that.
Gal Gadot is neither Oscar-winning nor, and she's Wonder Woman.
So. I know. It was a long shot.
Hillary Clinton's father was a textile salesman.
Really?
They weren't wealthy people.
Okay.
Yeah. Gene Roddenberry created Star Trek. Shame on you. Shame on you for not knowing that.
I know.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, written by Jack Thorne.
Okay.
J.K. Rowling was supervising consultant. He wrote the play.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel, ABC. Is hosting Emmy Awards. He's on ABC.
Yeah.
President Obama's chief of staff is Dennis McDonough.
Okay.
The Night Of currently airs on HBO.
Okay.
And
wouldn't have known
Reagan
any of
the 40th. So you got 2, 3.
I got 3.
You got Virginia.
I got Virginia.
Which was cheating. But you got 3. Will I give
it
you
wasn't
half?
Cheating
Will I give you half for that because I said it to you?
Yeah.
I'll give you half.
Give me half.
So you got 2 points.
But to be fair,
give you
that
three.
Was your fault.
All right, okay.
It was your fault because if you just went with it and didn't point it out, gotten away.
So
with
do you
it.
Want 3? Do you think 3 is fair? Do you think you deserve 3?
Okay, I don't think I deserve 3.
Okay, I'll give you 2.5.
2.5 is fair.
That's what I got last week. Okay.
So yeah, but I think yeah. Okay, that was a good quiz. I have to say.
It was yeah.
It's pretty good. Okay.
Some of those were pretty easy questions.
Yeah.
I mean.
I should have gotten some.
Who created Star Trek?
I'm sorry.
And you thought Heineken was brewed in Waterford.
No, but, I knew it was. I was like, it's Cork. But like,
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Michael.
I'm sorry.
Back to Irish politics, which we always love to talk about.
Yeah, we sure do.
Fine Gael, of course, in a lovely position right now in this.
Yeah. Do you want to
ask you a question?
Okay.
I'll ask you a question, Michael.
You want to ask me a question?
I'll
right
ask
now.
You a question. Michael, has the Fine Gael minority government collapsed yet?
No.
Speaking of Fine Gael, though.
Speaking of Fine Gael.
There was a bit of a kerfuffle a few weeks ago where Fine Gael were
sure
like,
was.
Who will our next leader be?
Bit of scandal.
People started whispering in the halls of Leinster House.
Well,
Enda's going to be gone by the end of the year.
You see, what happens when you give politicians time off is they get really bored and they start like
gossiping
and stirring the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really great for us because otherwise
stuff to talk about.
We'd have absolutely nothing to talk about when
Very
it came
true.
To Irish politics.
So,
but at least we have something now.
Fine Gael leadership. There's a few contenders. Leo Varadkar, Simon Coveney, Francis Fitzgerald, Simon Harris.
Simon Harris, come on. Is he a contender?
No. You never know. You never know.
He's too young.
He is too young. Oh no, he is too
He's
young.
Less than 30, like.
But he's a popular young man now. He does okay
actually,
in the polls.
I actually wouldn't mind him.
I mean,
being
I don't like Simon Harris.
I think...
Don't trust him. He looks like Ryan Tuberty from Far Away.
He does.
If you squint.
I kind of prefer him to...
Leo.
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, definitely.
See, Leo... I think Leo
is... I prefer
him
to Francis.
I don't. No, I don't. See, I don't know. I don't like any of these people.
No,
I think Leo is... I don't...
I'm just thinking,
I think Leo has sinister intentions, but I think he's... Well, I don't think he has sinister intentions. I don't like Leo's character, but I think he is sincere, more so.
Mm.
I think Frances is not sincere, but I think she is...
more experienced.
Stoic and experienced and qualified.
She's safer.
Coveney...
Coveney is not charismatic.
Well, you see...
He's not...
Yeah, I don't think Coveney would be a good leader, but as someone who isn't a Fine Gael supporter... I don't really care.
But he's a very traditional Fine Gaeler. He'd be like Kenny in the way that, you know,
Whereas Leo would be very different.
Yeah,
doesn't have the support of the Fianna Fáil people who are currently propping up the government.
Yeah.
Leo apparently was quite troublesome during the negotiations for the minority government, whereas Simon was actually very helpful. So
yeah.
The Fianna Fáil are feeling more warmly towards Simon and maybe Francis, right? Or Simon Coveney, not Simon Harris.
And Francis.
Yeah.
But like, okay, well, would Leo be the youngest Taoiseach?
Good question.
He's 36.
I would imagine so. What age was Brian Cowan? It's hard to tell what age Brian Cowan was because of his...
Ahern was age 45.
Okay.
He was the youngest.
Okay, he would be
So he would be the youngest at 36.
Yeah. He looks like it too. He looks like the youngest. But no, I mean, Leo would be an interesting choice. And it would be the entertaining choice for us here on the 99% to talk about week by week, whereas Francis would be extremely safe and dull. Yeah. Just like Theresa May.
Or Enda,
yeah. But, you know, are there any other people that we haven't mentioned? Dr. James Riley,
who is
no longer a TD.
Bruton.
I don't know. Very slim chance.
But he would love the job, though.
I mean, yeah. Alan Shatter could have done it. Alan Shatter is unfortunately no longer a DD.
Yeah.
Because of the whole, Garda corruption thing.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Alan Shatter would have been a contender. I don't know. There's not much to talk about, really, while the doll is on the holidays now.
I know. We just have to try and come up with stuff to talk about.
But, you know, we'll know in about 6 months, probably, if Enda's sticking around or not. And we'll probably know who the main contenders are. I'd imagine it'll be...
So, wait, will they be calling another election?
For a general election?
Yeah.
Not unless the government falls apart.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Fine Gael leadership contest...
I think Enda will stick around.
He might. The thing is, I'd say if Enda does choose to leave, I'd say he will probably put his support behind Frances more so. I mean, he gave her the tarnished job, very much putting her in position to take over.
Of course.
And she would probably be interim Taoiseach if he suddenly resigned. So
she's probably the best candidate.
She probably is. But I think Leo or Simon would challenge her. And it would probably end up being a sort of Michael Gove, Boris Johnson situation where you have these two men who are sort of two sides of the same coin. But then one of them kind of, I'd say, if I were Simon Coveney, I would be concerned about Leo's significant lead in the polls.
But Leo might be popularity. Leo mightn't be interested in that because he wouldn't, if it was a leadership contest, he wouldn't be going full term, right?
Yeah, but he would be bringing them into the next general election. Like,
yeah.
So he would be Taoiseach once again after that. But the chances, Fianna Fáil right now are in a very strong position. And I would put money on the fact that the next Taoiseach after Enda Kenny will be Micheál Martin. Like, but I don't know. Or if there's the next Taoiseach after the next general election will be Micheál Martin.
There is such a rising support for Fianna Fáil. Yeah.
And Fianna Fáil have yet to do anything to sort of quench that support. That's, I mean,
I really don't want to see Fianna Fáil back in government again.
I mean, I don't know. Fianna Fáil, I think, during the last election campaign, I think because of how... there was a kind of a gap left by Labour because of how Labour behaved in the last 5 years. I think Fianna Fáil were able to grab a lot of Labour voters by moving themselves to the left.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening was that Fianna Fáil ended up sort of... I was finding myself thinking, oh, Fianna Fáil's policies actually aren't that bad.
Yeah.
But then they're in this minority arrangement and I see the vote, the breakdowns of TD's voting on things and like everything I support, like Fianna Fáil are not voting for, but neither are Fine Gael. So frankly, I'm just going to continue to vote for small parties and independents.
Yeah, I know I'm going to say, but like, to be honest, like Micheál Martin as Taoiseach?
I'd rather see Micheál Martin as Taoiseach than Leo Varadkar. Yeah, I would. If it was a choice, if it was a presidential election between the two of them, like I would vote for Micheál Martin, mostly because he's from Cork.
Yeah.
Simon Coveney and Micheál Martin are from the same constituency in Cork, as is Micheál McGrath, the Fianna Fáil finance spokesman. So if the three of them were the Taoiseach, opposition leader, and the Minister for Finance, all from the same area, that'd be pretty funny.
It would. Yeah, we need to get some TDs on.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, they're not going to be doing anything during the summer.
Exactly. We'll speak to some TDs soon. Don't worry.
Yes.
Don't worry, listeners.
Spoiler alert.
So, classic album, Michael.
Are we going to go classic album?
I'm going to go with classic album.
Okay. Are we going to go... what kind of album are you feeling this week, Lou?
I don't know. I'm feeling for some time, love, and tenderness.
A bit of Michael Bolton.
A bit of Michael Bolton,
classic.
Perhaps.
Well... Michael Bolton wouldn't be an immediate choice if I was to pick a record off of my beautiful shelf of records that I have over there.
Absolutely stunning.
As you can see, we've got some real classics over there in the corner. But there's something very... there's something very 80s about this album.
Leaving Cert English has not prepared us for words to use to describe the music of Michael Bolton.
He's a big fan of the old synth.
Mm-hmm.
He
has a face like a stone mountain.
His voice is incredibly unmanly like.
That's true.
I've been listening to it. He does a lot of falsetto stuff. And
I like his voice.
When
it's used well, like by the Lonely Island in Incredible Thoughts, there's something
incredible.
There's
thoughts.
Something very appealing about his voice.
Yeah,
I'm not as familiar with his.
I don't know. I think his
solo
stuff. But he's. I mean, he's definitely got some skills as a vocalist.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't really aware of until I listened to this album, and it really opened me up to the world of Michael Bolton.
Anyway, will we take a listen to some examples?
Yeah. Oh, I have Neon Bible up by accident. Whoops.
Oops.
Oh. Oh, whoops.
Spoiler alert.
Let's listen to the title track, okay. Love, Time, Love, and Tenderness.
Wow.
Very, very 80s.
I want to get up and dance.
It was released in 91.
Nobody told that to Michael Bolton.
Oh, it's so synthy. So you say that you can't go on. Love left you crying. And you say all your hope is gone. And what's the use in trying?
I guess that one.
What you need is to have some faith. Shake off those sad news. Get yourself a new view.
With tenderness.
Tenderness.
I found a big LP of Time, Love, and Tenderness, the album, down in a flea market in West Cork a few weeks ago.
Wow.
Very tempted to buy it, but it was like really overpriced. In a box with loads of ABBA.
Oh wow.
But no, I
I'm gonna play another song.
Okay.
Featuring Kenny G.
Kenny G.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
An equally strange looking man. Saxophonist.
Saxophonist. I would say saxophonist.
I would say saxophonist.
We will fight to the death.
Listen to this sax though.
Kenny G, what a legend. This is the kind of music that you'd associate with like a sort of a trashy motel in the southern U.S. where, you know, sort of working class teenagers are losing their virginity and the sort of a smell of sawdust in the air from the trucks outside.
It could be from like a Lethal Weapon movie.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that kind yeah. of...
It's like something Seal would do.
Yeah.
But it's very... It's like the sort of music that people who are only familiar with country music play when they're trying to be sensual.
Yeah.
And they're trying to experience sensual music. This is what...
Something that is in country.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what it brings to mind. I see the merit of this, though.
It's great.
It's... Oh, it's saxophone. Oh.
Listen to that, Kenny
G. I could listen to this all day.
It's a shame there's not more sax in this. All right, we'll fade that out. So that is Time, Love, and Tenderness by Michael Bolton.
Is it on Spotify?
It sure is.
So get that on Spotify.
Get it on Spotify. Actually, yeah, get it on Spotify. It's not worth paying for that stuff.
It's time now for Kevin Spacey film. Of the week.
The week, the week, oh. the week, the week.
Shouldn't
the
have said
week,
it until the jingle was the prepared.
Have a good day.
Yep. KSFOTW.
So we were going to go with a really, really great classic Oscar award winning.
But Michael didn't watch it in time.
Didn't watch Sorry. It. It's over here.
We have the DVD. Don't tell them the name of the film.
Nope.
We're going to bang the DVD up against the microphone. We'll see if they can guess what it is. Yeah.
Okay. It's... There you go.
We'll give you a clue. The tagline is, look closer.
That might give it away. I was supposed to watch it and I didn't. I'm so sorry.
You watch it before next week. So this week's Kevin Spacey film of the week is one of Pixar's inferior efforts. I didn't realize Kevin Spacey was in it. It is, of course, A Bug's Life.
Yeah, he does the voiceover for one of the wasps, right? Or whatever it is.
Jeez, I don't know. I don't remember anything about A Bug's Life. I haven't seen it in a decade.
Well, okay. Bug's Life, Kevin Spacey.
Not one of my favorite Pixar films, I must say.
You know, when I watched it, I actually really liked it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's grand.
Because...
But it's no... The fact that we're not remembering who he voiced...
Yeah, so no, he is. No. I'm right. He's not... There weren't wasps. They were like the grasshoppers, right? Or whatever they were.
Oh, maybe. There's that grass...
He was the evil guy anyway.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Remember? Yeah.
That makes sense.
Here, I have a clip from it, I think.
Okay.
We can... We can play. All right.
Rain? We might as well be sucking bug spray.
Ooh! Don't even say that. You know something? You're making a lot of sense. I mean, why take the risk? You should tell Hopper.
Good idea.
Hopper. That was him.
You know, it's really not our place. I mean, you're his brother. That makes you like the vice president of the gang.
Wow. It kind of does, doesn't it? Okay, I'll tell him. Boy, I should talk to you guys.
That's
more
Bing Bong. Yeah, that is
Bing
your
Bong.
Man who's the voice of Bing Bong. Can't believe I can't remember his name.
President
Bolton. Oh, what a great voice that guy has. Yeah, what's his name? Great actor.
It's good. Oh, a little lower. Yeah. Lower.
There you go.
That's hey, Hop. Go away. That's fine. Then I won't tell you my idea.
Good.
Okay. I'll tell you anyway. You see, I've been thinking, okay, which is something that I do, you know, being vice president and all. And this is a thought, and it was mine. Why go back to Ant Island at all? I mean, you don't even like green.
What?
You're right. I didn't think it was such a good idea myself. Actually, it wasn't even my idea. It was Axel and Locos. They talked fancy to me. I got confused.
Richard Kind.
Richard Kind.
Terrific actor.
Wait, here we go.
Richard Kind is the mayor.
Guys,
this is Kevin
order
Spacey.
Another round because we're staying here.
Doesn't sound like him at all.
What was I thinking going back to Ant Island?
I mean, we just got here, and we have more than enough food to get us through the winter, right? Why go back? But there was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
And that is Kevin Spacey in
A Bug's Life.
Quality movie. Which, you know, it was actually one of my childhood favorites when it came out.
Okay, I've only seen it once. I didn't watch it until I was about...
Yeah, I watched 10. It about 3 or 4 times.
Okay, fair enough.
And, yeah, I kind of liked it.
Kind of passed me by.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
So that's Kevin Spacey film of the week.
We're going to have a great one next week, promise you.
A really great one. A lengthy discussion about one of the defining films of our time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
So,
I think we should talk a little bit about some more Irish stuff, right?
So, there... Yeah.
Couldn't we?
Yep. So you have a story there.
We can talk about a gay man who sued the state because they weren't allowing him to give blood.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a lengthy issue in this country where we have this national ban on gay men and women giving blood. I think it's women as well.
No, it's only gay men.
Is it only men?
Well, and there was a reason. Okay, so it was. The law first came out in the 1980s because of an issue with AIDS, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
at the time it was perceived that AIDS was more
prominent
in the gay community.
And statistically, there was published reports that said gay men have a much higher risk of contracting AIDS than straight men or women. Yeah. And also lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought it was a great idea to just put a ban on any gay man from giving blood. But of course, this law still applied, like literally up until this year, right? So
it's extremely dated. I mean, it was like, especially since marriage came in, this was like one of the few areas in which there was still discrimination based on sexual orientation in
which
this country,
which is in to this day in a country where gay marriage is legal.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you have a law that prohibits any gay man from giving blood?
And I mean, giving blood is an act of philanthropy. Like this
exactly.
is you should be encouraging this as much as possible. Having high levels of blood in storage is a very positive thing for the medical
and especially around this time of the year when blood donations hit their lowest during the year, and there is always a struggle to get blood.
And you're cutting people out of the process based on a sort of assumption was at one point grounded.
It's hard enough to get anybody to give blood.
Yeah, exactly,
you know?
Exactly. And so, you're turning people away.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are you can easily test people for these...
Today, in the 80s, it was harder.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, it's so easy to do that it's not an issue anymore. Mm-hmm,
exactly, yeah.
So I'm very glad that the state finally decided to take this stupid ban away.
Mm-hmm.
He's dropped the lawsuit.
Okay.
I mean, he could still, I guess.
Yeah?
He could still fight it.
You could say, I mean, could you say it's...
Discriminate.
Could you say it's unconstitutional or what? Some such, I mean, to discriminate based on sexual orientation.
But I think he he didn't want to kind of once you mm-hmm. know he it wasn't about
he was
you
doing
know,
it
getting
for, yeah,
compensation
exactly,
it was about,
exactly he was just doing it to prove a point and one that he has done I think he has been successful in doing
definitely so that's a good thing.
That's good news. Yes.
Yeah. Also in other Irish news, George Hook is going to have
his final episode of The Right Hook on News Talk this Friday.
You know,
George Hook, of course, is a very...
How long has the Right Hook been going on for?
16 years, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. George Hook, of course, a voice of drive time, a voice familiar
of
to those driving
radio.
Driving home in the evening around Ireland for many years.
He's pretty much broadcast veteran, broadcast
legend.
Been
there since the start of News Talk. However, he's not leaving News Talk.
It's kind of part of their summer reschedule thing because of Ivan Yates.
They're shaking up the schedule in September. And yeah. He will be doing a new show in the afternoon, which is fine, but, you know.
Lunchtime, right?
Yeah. But it'll be, you know, his audience of people driving home will not be able to listen to him in that slot.
It won't be called The Right Hook anymore.
So that wonderful title for a radio show will no longer be used.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
The Right Hook.
The Right Hook. So it's kind of a sad moment.
Thanks, George. We actually coming to think of Irish broadcasters leaving, we never spoke about Johnny Giles a few weeks back.
I know.
Johnny Giles, absolute legend of Irish sports punditry. He was one of the big squad on RTE2 covering soccer with Liam Brady and Eamon Dunphy and the late, great Bill O'Herlihy. Mm-hmm. I've been watching these guys on TV since I was yay high. Mm-hmm. My relationship with soccer, as weak as it is firmly rooted in engaging with the punditry of Liam and Eamon and John. And John retired after the Euro 2016 championship, and that's very sad because I love these guys. And their banter is always reliable, even if John's actual observations on soccer have become less and less accurate and worthy of listening to as he gets older and less sensible. But nonetheless, John is a legend. And,
sure is.
He will be.
He's a manager of the Irish team.
He was a player. He was a manager. He was a manager of Shamrock Rovers, I think.
Yeah.
One of those big Dublin teams. Anyway, he's an absolute legend. So
he's had a long career in football.
Oh, in football.
In football.
Yeah.
Because we can't say soccer. We can't say soccer. It's football.
Soccer's too fancy.
Soccer's too American.
Too English. Oh, that's true.
No. The
English say football.
It's football. It's not soccer. It's football. So, you know. Yeah.
So, Hook, we'll miss you at 4:30 p.m. And John will miss you on RTE2. And... we're going to end today's show with the return of low-stakes cereal. We have found a new problem in this country that needs to be solved. And that problem is about an ancient well in County Kerry. And there's been a multi-layered controversy about this.
We've gotten so many low-stakes. Loads of people emailed us.
But this is the first one we're going to discuss.
Yeah.
So... we'll just read out the story from the Irish Times. A Sinn Féin councillor who made the front page of this week's Kerry Man for saying, and I quote, "Even ISIS would not have done this," would have spared a Kerry holy well from demolition works, has defended his comments. Pa Daly, his name is Pa Daly, he's not related to me as far as I know, was quoted in the newspaper as calling on Kerry County Council to explain why the dig on Sunday's well in Tralee was allowed to go ahead. Mm. Who the hell authorised the work? Even ISIS wouldn't have done this. Kerry County Council says it removed stones from the recorded monument earlier this week due to concerns over public safety. Defending his claim, Mr. Daly, a Tralee-based solicitor, told News Talk that the remark in no way compared the council to a terrorist organization. The comment has inspired a stream of ridicule, but Mr. Daly stood by the statement. IS have a history of taking down old historic structures they don't like. This is a holy well. It doesn't have any images they'd object to. Asked if he considered the remark fair, he added, "I wasn't talking of people being blown up." He claimed the holy well was partially demolished in the absence of consultation with archaeologists or the National Monuments Service.
Well, I think everybody could presume that he wasn't talking about people being blown up.
I agree with him. One of ISIS's big things attacking Western culture is attacking our historical monuments. They go out and they destroy so much stuff, and it's just awful to watch.
But it's perhaps a slight kind of...
I think he was being intentionally provocative, but at the same time, that is a good excuse that he has, is that I wasn't referring to them blowing people up, because ISIS do have... that is one of their big things, aside from coming here murdering people in Europe and in the Middle East, they're also just destroying stuff.
Could be slightly insensitive, though.
Yeah, oh, sure. And like... it's a ridiculous quote, which is why we're discussing it.
Which is exactly why we're discussing this on our low-stakes cereal. But to put the quote aside, the issue is actually very serious, right?
Yeah, but the councillor defending this, saying that it was to improve public safety in what is a, quote, busy residential area.
Yeah, but you still have to, you can't just... do whatever the hell
exactly.
you want.
Exactly, removing stones from a historic... I mean, this is absurd. You can't be doing this.
You go through a process.
Exactly, and he says they did not consult any archaeological experts. That is really bad form.
That is, and you see, the thing is, okay, even, okay, maybe it wasn't something that has huge historical significance, but you can't make exceptions.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, and if it was such a huge risk, you'd say this is a huge risk, but still consult people.
I know. Yeah.
Gee, like, you know, you have to follow the process. Yeah. There should be no exceptions made when it comes to this. So, yeah, this is our new low-stakes cereal. What are we going to do, Lou? We're going to raise awareness.
We'll keep an eye out for updates. But at the same time, we want you to send in any more low-stakes cereal suggestions.
Yeah.
On Twitter, Facebook, email, and we will get to them in due course.
Anything you feel very passionate about that you feel like we should raise awareness for on this segment, low-stakes cereal.
Cereal, cereal, cereal. So we're going to wrap it up.
We're going to wrap it up for this week.
That is episode 11 of the 99%.
Yes.
We will be back next week with episode 12. The Democratic National Convention continues in Philadelphia. Next week, we'll talk a bit about what occurs. And you can always keep up to date in. We will be retweeting some stuff on twitter.com/99pshow.
Sure will.
You can follow me. I'm Revolutionary. You can follow Michael. He's MacAndrewTweets. You can like the 99% on Facebook, facebook.com/99pshow. You can follow us on Instagram, 99pshow. And you can email 99pshow@gmail.com or visit 99pshow.com to get all the episodes.
This episode is a joint collaboration of BuzzHub Entertain
and Carb Digital.
Exactly.
And
have we forgotten anything?
Yeah. That's everything.
That's everything. All right, okay, everybody. We'll see you next
week,
guys.
Have a nice week. Yeah.